I have the really tremendous chus, I don't have the right words for it, to be speaking today with my Rebbe, Reb Moshe Weinberger, who is taking some time out of his very busy schedule to speak with us. And it's this kind of special episode. As we finished, we're going through each chapter of the book, and we just concluded the last chapter of part one of the book. And so in between part one and part two, we're kind of having this unique episode. Rebbe, thank you so much for making the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So I wanted to start out by asking Rebbe about a phrase in Rebbe Nachman that I've come across. I know of at least one place. I can't remember if I've seen it elsewhere in the Torah of Rebbe Nachman. It's in Likutei Moharan, Torah Lamed Gimel, and this phrase that he uses kind of caught my attention, and every time I see it intrigues me. He talks about how when a person grows in their avodas Hashem, they come to higher and higher levels of attaining, and then he uses the lashon attaining, the experience of le'ehov es atzmo im Hashem yisparach. Le'ehov es atzmo im Hashem yisparach. That a person loves himself together with Hashem. When the first time I saw those words, I just kind of fell in love with them, and I'm curious how Rebbe thinks about what Rebbe Nachman means when he says that.
I'll tell you what I understood from that in Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Nachman brings it down in a few places, but interestingly, it's not really singled out with a longer hesber of what that means. But the way I understand it is that in order to truly love oneself, one has to understand that I myself, I'm a shtick elokus. I am myself a chefza. Of Elokus, that I have within me a chelik Elokah mimal, mamish. When a person's way of loving himself is based upon the gvulim, the boundaries, and the constrictions and constraints of his own limitations and his own opinions and self-image, his own opinion of himself and his self-image, so then the love is a very feeble and unpredictable one. It's not a kesher pnimi. When a person's self-love is not about what is my role in life, how does the world see me, am I smart, am I less intelligent, and so on. It's a love that is inseparable from the love that one has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since the essence of a Jew is Elokus, so it's infinite and it's not restrained by any of the silly ways that we oftentimes come to love ourselves or to hate ourselves. It's a love that's boundless, but it's without ego. Because it's completely batel in Hashem. It's a manifestation of Elokus. So loving oneself with or together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that ahava to a place that's completely pure and boundless.
There's a lot of discussion. It's a very popular theme or emphasis now in the self-help and psychology world of self-worth or self-love. But I think, and I'd love to know what Rebbe thinks about this, that from Yiddishkeit, from a perspective of our Messiah, it's not so much a matter of self-love or self-worth. It's that what we need to develop is the ability to see our worth from the perspective of the Creator, our worth from the perspective of Hashem, which is a very different experience than kind of relating to myself as I love myself. But it's Hashem sees worth in me, and that's how I receive and kind of see my value.
100%. But the Svarim bring down from the very beginning. The very beginning, there was a kitrug against man being created, ma'enosh kisis kirenu. And to this day, there are people who measure their worth based upon what either an angel says or what other people say, and that's the definition of self-worth. It's very, very human and oftentimes very, very silly. But the self-worth and self-love that the tzaddikim are talking about is, like it's brought down in the Slanim Svarim on the Pasuk, Musar Bini Al Timas, Musa, the greatest Musa of all is Bini, is that you're my child. And therefore, essentially, there can't be anything that's ma'us, there can't be anything that's disgusting about you. And that's what we say, in the Ela, At the Hivdalt, which is the response to the Kitrug of the angels who said, Ma'enosh, who is man? So the response is clear to us finally by the time we're davening the Ela. The whole year we're confused and how we evaluate ourselves. But finally, by Ne'ila, we understand that man has been distinguished and separated from the beginning. In what way? That man has self-worth only in as much and insofar as he recognizes that he is uniquely able to stand in the presence of God. That man alone is able to address God, to speak to God. His worth, man's self-worth, is only through God's eyes and through that relationship with God. Not as an independent being. That's which the therapists, the psychologists, and so on, the philosophers, they're talking about man's independent worth. Man on his own is worthless. Is my the angels are right. Man on his own, man without God, and without being bottled to Elokus, and without that love being a love together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then the angels were completely right. My what is man? And man is only given trouble, has only caused aggravation for Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when man sees himself through the eyes of Hashem, and Musar bini al timas, and banim atem l'Hashem l'keichem, and through the dynamics of Dveikus, so then man's worth is infinite, just as God is infinite.
So if a person is lacking in that, and I guess to some degree we're all lacking in that somewhat, it's relative. How do we try to connect more with that and internalize that? And we can say the words, but how do we really bring that into our lives more?
I think there are two ways to do that, and I'm not sure which is easier, which is harder. Everybody finds one easier or harder, but there's the haskalah, there's understanding, there's, for instance, when a person hasn't learned Tanya inside out, or for that matter, really Nefesh HaChaim inside out, then we don't really know who we are. And how could you love yourself as an expression of Elokus if you don't know who you are? We don't know ourselves. So the first thing is self-awareness, not the way that self-awareness is used in popular psychology, but self-knowledge, I think, would be more accurate. Self-knowledge, to simply know who I am. If one does not learn Tanya carefully, again, and there are others that would, again, more Rav Dessler. I'm not getting into what's your favorite sefer, but the svarim that are addressing this mitzias of who a Jew is, of what are we, who are we? So the first thing that one has to do is to learn Pnimius HaTorah in depth, and to understand what's the nature of the soul, to understand who I am, what's the nefesh, what's ruach, what's neshama, what's chayi, what's yichid, who am I? That's the muskalos. For some people, that comes much easier than the second part of the avodah, which I believe is indispensable as well, and that's his bodhidus. I think that you really could read up the resume of a young lady that you want to date. Let's say you get a resume, a bocher gets a resume, and he's very excited by the resume. It sounds very, very interesting, and he does a lot of research, and he reads up about this young lady. And he's very impressed with all of her credentials, but if he doesn't go out and date, if he doesn't spend time with her, doesn't develop a relationship with her, so then it's just it's like a person says, you know, sends a shlich to make a kiddushin. He lives in New York, she lives in California, and you send a shlich, and the shlich says you're mekudeshes, and there's no relationship. So there are many people that worship the god of the seichel, of the intellect, and they might understand on some level the nature of the nefesh elokis and man's connection to God, but they never went on a date with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's wonderful, one of the wonderful things about your Sefer, which is just taken hold of Am Yisrael in many ways, it's reaching this part of a Jew that has until now, you know, not found, at least in the English language, something so accessible, sort of a dating manual of how to go out with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. His bodhidus is something which is very much a very big part of that. It's not just a breslev thing. The Leitzonim like to make it kilu. This is a whole breslev. It's not just breslev. Not that there's anything wrong with it. We just be breslev. I have no problem with that. But the Chofetz Chaim and the Shevet Musa and the Kadmonim and Tzaddikim and the way that the Nevi'im went out with the Kodesh Baruch Hu was very personal and very intimate. So without that, without going out, without dating, without speaking and communicating, all that's involved in his bodhis, you really can't have that. They're just words. They're just dvarim ba'alma.
I don't know why, but for myself, speaking very personally here, I find it accessible for me to it's I don't want to say it's easy, because I obviously have many times where I don't do this well, but it's on some level, I guess it's relatively easy for me to feel that I'm living with Hashem, and that when I'm doing things, I'm going places, there's kind of a feeling and a sense of I'm together with Hashem, and I enjoy spending time in, let's call it, his bodhidus, away from other people, away from work, away from the community, and being on my own with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I find, again, I don't want to overstate that. I'm not like anything so amazing, but I find that accessible. But what I really struggle with, and for a long time already, and I don't know why, I can't put my finger on it, is the part of actually verbalizing and speaking, like speaking out loud, the way that Rabbi Nachman, and as Rabbi said, many, many others, speak about how a person should create this relationship with Hashem by actually talking in my own language, in my own words. I can say a sentence or two, but for some reason, I find it very difficult to really engage in anything longer than that with any consistency.
A lot of people have shared that with me, and I think that part of it is just expressing that to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We see in the Svarim, and maybe it's like Bender and other of the tzaddikim from that world of Breslev in particular. There's a whole sefer that in the shul we've been learning together over the past few years called Eshbel the Fun of Sichi. From Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Karmel Zichron Levracha, and there are a few chapters that are addressing this difficulty that many people have, and we're not used to speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without somebody else's words, without holding a siddur, without the familiarity of a certain environment of tefillah. And I think we've been so habituated for all of our lives, those who have been from all of their lives have been so habituated to a certain way of davening, I think it's just a matter of habit. I have found an interesting thing, Rabbi Yaakov, that by many...
I'm sorry, Rabbi, I actually lost the volume there for a second.
Try again.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
No problem.
Look, but it's very, what I found, I don't know where we left off, but I found it very interesting that many of the Baalei Teshuva that I've spoken to have no problem with this at all. They were not indoctrinated in holiness in that way of of the shul and all the fixtures of tefillah. They're just not indoctrinated that way. And for them, there's nothing that's more natural than free conversation. It's so part of it, I believe, is just that we were raised in a way that it's so foreign to us, it's so difficult for us. And of course, there's overcoming that feeling of is he listening? You know, and much is written about that in this forum. I'm not going to go into that right now, but how do I get a response? What is the response? And one of the ways that the Sfas Emes explains the whole crisis of Golus HaDibur, like we had in Mitzrayim, is that if a person feels that he's crying out and he doesn't get a response or one that he can hear in ways that he's accustomed to and in ways that human beings are accustomed to, then you're at some point you just sort of retreat into this place that's called Golus HaDibur, which is what was happening in Mitzrayim. That it wasn't just a matter of, you know, I'm not. Why weren't we able to daven? You look at Sefer Shmos. It begins with Vayeonchu, Vayizaku. We know, but no one's able to talk. No one's talking. And one of the things that the Sfas Emes and other tzaddikim explain is that there were years and years where they felt that they were not being answered. And if you don't feel that, if you don't hear a response, you become muted. You just lose your ability to talk. Again, lahavdil, if you're going out with somebody, bocher and the girl are going out on a date and this one's talking and the other one's not listening and no one's hearing, so then you lose your cheshik to talk. So one of the things that we have to break through in his bodhidus is that nakuda of amunah that is telling us that Hashem is truly listening. We have to really refine our belief in Kadosh Baruch Hu. His bodhidus requires a tremendous amount of amunah. In order for it to be something which is life-giving and life-changing, it has to be we really have to reevaluate our amunah in his presence in a way of Shevisha Hashem like the Yisavit. And as the Svarim says, brought down the Kadmonim, Rabbi Nachman brought down the Kilo at that moment of his bodhidus, Hashem puts away everything else in the universe. We don't know what this means. Only Hashem could do this, but there's nothing else that exists in the universe except you. And if you're not in that place and you're still uncomfortable with that kind of of intimacy and coziness, then it's difficult to keep on talking. You know, then you start to wonder, like, what am I supposed to talk about? And how much can I talk about? And so on. But seems that people have no problem communicating with each other. Most people can talk for hours on end, especially if it's, you know, in shul or someplace where they're not supposed to be talking. So it's not because we don't have the material to share with Hashem. It's because there's something yet that hasn't been refined in our emunah, that he really cares, that he's really listening, that he has multiple ways of responding and speaking to us. That we have to begin to understand his language. I believe that there is in the secular world there's some literature on, you know, the different languages of love, that different people have different languages of love, and Hashem's language of love is one that we have to begin to decipher. How does he speak to us? And when one begins to understand Hashem's language of love, and that's a whole different subject. But one begins to understand Hashem's language of love, then you feel, wow, He's actually talking to me also. He's actually responding, not in the way that my friend does, but he's responding to me, and that generates more of a desire and a longing to talk. So it's really like everything else. It requires a tremendous amount of work and tremendous amount of amunah, but it's the most gratifying thing in the world. And anybody who begins to work on it, even if they haven't yet become completely comfortable, will tell you that. They thought in the beginning that they were struggling to struggling for the words and struggling for a little bit as brothers, but then afterwards it's the like Rav Yehuda Levi talks about in Guzri with the chassid, with the righteous Jew, that it's the fruit, it's the sweetest moment of the day, those moments of intimacy and and conversation.
How can one start to feel that there's a response?
There's to begin with, Reb Tzaddik often spoke about what he referred to using the terminology that's found in Chazal and the Rishayim. He spoke about a divine echo. It's called Kala Dahadra. Kala Dahadra, a voice that boomerangs, that returns, that comes back. And he speaks about this in Machshavei Zecharutz and in other places. And Kala Dahadra means that a bas kol, we would say in Lashon HaKodesh, a bas kol. And a bas kol means that when I pour my heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then I live that day in a state of God consciousness, and looking for Hashem. In the, for instance, Gemara tells us, we see this in Maran Shabbos and other places in Chazal, that there would be Amorim, that they would be walking in the Shuk, and Amor would be walking in the Shuk, and he would hear the conversation of two people in the Shuk, and remarkably, it was what he was talking about to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what was on his mind, and what he was something that he was struggling with or working at, and he would hear. It wasn't a direct voice of Hashem. It was an echo of Hashem. It was an echo of Hashem. The tzaddik lives in a constant state of awareness, of God awareness, and because of that, he's able to hear in the conversations of children. The Gemara tells us also such a thing, like with at the time of Shushan Habir, with Stokli Ptukechan, what were the children talking about that day in Cheder? Everything is Hashgacha Pratis. Every single moment of every single step that we take is Hashgacha Pratis. And those people who are deeply committed to his Bardos and speak to Hashem in a very, very clear and open and personal, intimate way, and beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to clarify and to help and to respond. They begin to pick up on certain frequencies that they normally would not even pay attention to. There are echoes that they hear in conversations with other people, or even things that they see during the day, that Hashem's remarkable ways of winking and saying, here's your answer. Of course, one has to be careful with this, because there could be all kinds of delusions and so on and so forth. It's a very big inyan. But one becomes instantly more sensitive to Hashem's way of speaking, to that language of love. It comes through even things that your own loved one says to you, that your children, that your spouse will say to you during the day, certain things. And if you listen carefully, the Shekhinah is medaberes mitach groinam, that the Shekhinah herself is speaking to you through your children. The Shekhinah herself is speaking to you through your wife, through your friend, and things that happen during the day, things that even occur, not necessarily words that are spoken, but events that take place that for whatever reason you happen to see, you happen to be part of, is something that came your way. So that's one of the ways that Hashem speaks to us through this bas kol, through this divine echo.
One of the topics I hear often talked about in shmuzin that, you know, I hear in different places, or just some of the things that circulate in the current from world, of one of the themes is talking about how great we can be and kind of pumping people up to be, you know, talking about greatness. And I'm not sure if this is true. This is the feeling that I have, and I'm curious to know how Rebbe feels about this. There's a story that Rebbe once said about his father, that came to mind when I was thinking about this. So I personally am not sure if that message, how healthy that message is all the time, because first of all, I've wondered about this and I'm very open to being corrected, but I don't know that that's something that is something that I see as being so spoken about in the actual Ma'amari Chazal of talking about. I mean, there is, and we were talking about before, of our greatness is the fact that Hashem desires us and Hashem wants us to be, but the way that the greatness is spoken about, of how great a person can be and how much you can learn and how much you can, you know, perfect your midos, that type of greatness is not one that I think, I don't know, that I see as being so spoken about in Svarim, whether we're talking Hasidish Svarim or we're talking Litvish Svarim, which again, I could be wrong, but that's my observation. But number two, on a avoda level, that message of greatness, I think, can often leave people challenged or troubled, because if I'm at a some sort of convention or something, and there's some amazing speaker who's going to give me this message that I can be so amazing and I can be so great, and then I'm going home and my avoda at home is to serve my kids dinner or put my kids to sleep or spend time sitting one-on-one with my wife or whatever it is, there's nothing about that feels like I'm doing something so cosmically great. And I don't know that there needs to be, meaning it's okay that there's nothing so grandiose about that. It's just the right thing to be doing. It's what's meaningful about life. But when I'm given this message about how great and amazing I can be, then those very simple moments don't feel fulfilling. It feels like something's wrong when actually nothing's wrong. And maybe the message that we need to hear more of is not about how great we can be, but it's more a message of it's good enough to just be good enough. And you don't need to be grand. It's okay. It's good to just be good. The story that I'm referencing, and then I'll stop talking. I want to know what Rebbe thinks, if any of my feelings on this are correct or need or could be redirected. The story I think, if I have it right, is that Rebbe said that your father once overheard you saying, or overheard someone saying to one of the little kids who did something like threw their plate in the garbage or something, like, oh, what a tzaddik, or something like, you're such a tzaddik. And Rebbe's father was not so happy with that comment of telling the kid that they're such a tzaddik, which is kind of countercultural to what people do nowadays. And I'm just wondering what Rebbe's thoughts are on this.
Listen, Rebbe Yaakov, I couldn't agree with you more. My father said at the time that he knew true tzaddikim, and that when a kid throws his plate in the garbage, that's what he's expected to do, and that's the right thing to do, and he should be encouraged to do the right thing. But a tzaddik is something else altogether. Much of this talk, the reason that you haven't found it really in this Svarim, not that you don't see, for instance, in the Muslim world, in Slobodka, you know, Godless Adam. And then you find such beautiful, beautiful and sweet things about man's greatness that are scattered throughout all the Svarim and the teachings of the Kedushas Levi and Rabbi Nachman and Rav Kook and so on. That same Rav Kook is famous for saying that just as one has to recognize Ma Godlu Ma Secha Hashem, one has to also recognize Ma Kotnu Ma Secha Hashem, how tiny, how small are your actions. And the meaning of that is, what Rav Kook was saying, is that everybody is looking for Hashem in the grandiose, the big events. You see what's going on nowadays. This is, in my opinion, this is all very not Jewish. That this need for there to be something spectacular, the big event, whether it's from a simcha or whether it's even something, conventions of religious nature, whatever it might be, this idea that something has to be very, very big, mat godlu, not mat kotnu. And I think that much of this comes from secular culture, not from the Svarim. When Chazal tell us that, going back to for a minute to Shushan, when Chazal tell us that, Gemara says in Megillah that our machzor shekel, that Haman Haman paid Ahasuerus a service, a lot from Kikar Kesef. He took the king's fortune. He paid to buy the Jews, like in Germany, like the Jews were being bought. So Haman was buying Jews for a fortune of money, and then there was this Baskol. It came through the children that even the that they were learning the halachas of Kremes HaMincha, the little flour that's used for the mincha, and the mitzvah machzah shekel, a half a shekel, and Chazal and Mordechai said that that the half shekel, of Am Yisrael is going to defeat the millions of shekelim of Haman. And the deeper meaning of that is brought down in one of the Sfarim that shekel is the Rosh HaTevah's shivtucha, shavpucha, kumecha, lechtucha. It means that the measure of greatness is davke in makot numasecha, is how godly are you when you're feeding your children? How godly are you when you're, sorry, it's a little bit unpleasant, when you're changing a diaper? How godly are you when you're upset with your kid, or you're upset with your spouse? It's not the big event. It's not the big event. It's the makotnu. Where is God in those small moments of life? Since the whole point of creation, the tachlis of creation, is dir b'tachtainim, and tachtainim means, doesn't only mean this in a general sense, the physical world. It means when you're in a place that's tachtain shebatachtainim, she'en tachtain mimena, she'en lamata mimena, and in that place of infinite smallness, you don't lose that connection to God and you recognize His presence. So I think that all of this talk about how that the especially the boys are hearing from the beginning very much in the yeshiva, the stories about the Adam Godel, that when he was learning in Europe, there were some pictures on the wall, and he said that he left one blank on his wall because he's going to have his picture there. That might work for some people, but I personally don't believe that that's a Jewish approach. That doesn't mean that we don't have she'ifas to become greater people, but the she'ifa for greatness means at this particular moment of b'shivtecha, b'shachbecha, kumecha, lechtecha, can I keep my eyes in the right place this moment? No one's going to know about it. It's not going to be written up. No one's posting it. This is all part of the culture of posting. That this has become, and has become, it's gotten completely out of control, and it's become confused with the schmoozing that guys heard about godless adam, a she'ifas for greatness, and that's why there's a fixation on making siyumim all the time. Again, not that there's not the chalila, not that I'm saying anything. There's anything wrong with making siyum. It's a huge thing. It's a great thing. It's, to me, it's more of something that's necessary to encourage people who otherwise would not feel that incentive, that motivation. Going back to my father, Zichron Levracha, my father was finishing, he lived with all the time, but we didn't have parties. We didn't have big events. It just wasn't part of anything. And I never do that myself. Again, people who are going to be very upset. What do you mean? It's a huge mitzvah to make a seam and it gets other people excited. I understand all of that. And maybe it was to the other extreme with some of the Jews that I grew up with, like my father and my uncle and other people that I saw, which was together with a certain unbelievable natural sense of humility. They didn't need to feel all the time a big pat on the back. They didn't need to feel all the time that approval. They weren't schnorrers for compliments and for approval and for the big, having reached a certain milestone. The milestone was like the once there was a chassid of Lechovich that was visiting the Kotzker, and the Kotzker, asked this chassid of Lechovich, tell me, what is your Rebbe's inyan? Because, it was known that there were certain, each tzaddik had a certain greatness. This was learning, this was tzedakah, whatever, davening. So he asked the Kotzker, what's your Rebbe's greatness? And he said, whatever he's doing that moment, that's his greatness. That moment was his greatness. That, in my opinion, is what is the message that we're getting from Chazal, from the Svarma Kadosh. And when one learns the Musa Svarma in a way of Pnimius also in depth, I think that's the message. I think that the message of greatness has been hijacked by a secular way of seeing things. And as a result of that, there's a tremendous amount of damage. People don't feel the significance of giving somebody a compliment and making them feel better. People don't feel the significance and the urgency of doing a simple act of kindness, just helping your wife with the shopping, whatever it might be. And that's really where greatness, that's dir b'tachtonim in the highest way. So I couldn't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. It's a very, very big sugya, this what's going on now in the world with this inyan of pumping and pumping and more pumping. It's like everybody's in the locker room of the Super Bowl game, and being pumped up. I'm not saying there isn't a need for it, but there's something sad about it because people are so completely deflated and they have no other way of getting motivated than by being incentivized by some kind of pumping. But if we're talking about the pnimius and the emes and the tachlis, well, it's not a Jewish thing in particular.
In my mind, it also kind of connects to what we were talking about in the beginning about the difference between kind of the secular idea of self-worth versus the Torah-dic idea of worth that's from Hashem, because the greatness, I think, in when we find the greatness of Hashem's creations and of Yidden is talking about the greatness of Hashem, and that we are able to be a manifestation, a kli, a shliach for that. But it's not
right.
About I have a she'ifa to be a great Talmud Chacham, or I have a she'ifa to be a great Baal Tzedaka, or a great Baal Midos. It's that I'm part of something that's bigger than, it's not about me. It's about the thing that's bigger than me that I just am able to be part of in some way.
100%. Because the definition of Hatzlocha has been, again, misused. The definition of Hatzlocha, what it means to be, when Yosef was called an Ish Matzliach, we don't find anybody else that's called such a thing, Ish Matzliach. If you look at it at that point in his life, it wouldn't fit with our narrative of what's called a successful person. But Hashem knew, and only Hashem's Baruch knew, that lonely person, that young man that was in Mitzrayim, that there was tremendous, tremendous worth to those conquests that he made in overcoming certain temptations that nobody else knew about. Nobody else, only Hashem Zubach knows that. And this whole mahalach of defining greatness by something that's more out there and that's more obvious and it's more public, and it's really because I believe it's playing into a certain I'm sorry to use the word, but like the wokeness, this whole woke, it's that you have to, your hatzlocha means that you can look at yourself as an ish matzliach if the world agrees with you. If somebody disagrees with you, you feel hurt, you feel threatened. You have to, you measure success is measured by reaching certain goals and certain destinations. And a lot of the teaching that goes on in our own institutions is very goal oriented. That's a very big thing. To accomplish, to finish something, as opposed to when you look in the Svarma Kedoshim, that was never really an important part of being an Eved Hashem, to reach a certain goal. Your goal, as I said, is this moment. Your goal is to remember that you're a Jew this moment and to overcome whatever it is that's pulling you away from that reality and to engage in whatever is bringing you closer to that reality at this moment of your life. Not where is this taking me and how do people look at me, and is this called greatness? Is it not called greatness? It's again, you will find here and there in different svarim these type of diburim, but they've been taken and wokenized in our days.
Does Rebbe think that that the difference between emunah and dveikus has anything to do with this. Meaning, in my mind, and if I'm correct about this, I think about emunah as being a way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God as a transcendent being. Emunah is faith. There's some distance. When we talk about faith, it's not right in front of me. There's a faith that maybe he is right in front of me, but I don't experience that. The way I think about dveikus is more I believe that Tzemach Tzedek writes this, if I have it correctly, that dveikus is the experience of Hashem, that I actually experience Hashem, as opposed to emunah being that I believe that Hashem is running the world, that Hashem is creating at every moment, etc. But I don't really get to experience that. It's a faith, as opposed to dveikus is the actual relationship with Hashem, which of course is what I tried to articulate and
correct. And so
in my mind, the world talks a lot about emunah. I don't find that people talk very much about dveikus. And I think that the medicine for this need for greatness is relationships, because in relationships, we don't need to be great. We just need to be. We just need to be in relationship. Yeah. So if we're living with dveikus, then we don't need these.
You need that when God is very distant, and God is a concept, a thought. Then you need that. And that's why, because there's such a weakness in relationships these days for many, many reasons, that there's a greater need for that. You're absolutely right. But when you're living in a relationship, then, as I said before, a smile, a gesture, a wink, and even less than that, it's the satisfaction of being in a relationship. It's not, I don't have to have some end goal. It's this moment is the end goal. I'm walking with somebody who I love. Taking a walk with someone who I love—that's the end goal in of itself. You know, there was somebody that once said that, you know, you could sit at a table, and there are many people who are having a conversation, and all kinds of, it's a very interesting discussion. And if there's somebody, you know, you could even be at the table and have this conversation with people that you have tremendous disagreements with, and you don't see eye to eye at all, and you could discuss and you could debate and you could have a conversation. There could be people that you really don't like at all, also you despise. But Vahaya Ekiv Tishmon means that's something else altogether. That means that you could take a walk with somebody and not have to say anything, because when there's somebody that you love, you don't have to have all of those you don't have to have all of the extras. It's when you don't want to take a walk with somebody that you can't stand. You can sit at the table with people and debate with them and argue with them, but to take a walk with somebody quietly in the night, you know, to go on the boardwalk and just to understand each other, that's called dveikus. That's something else. It's a different world. It's an andere Welt. It's not the same world. It's the moment without the place of dveikus. That's why when it comes to the mitzvah of Ahava, so that it's a mitzvah esim b'deraisa. And so Chazal say that, you know, dveikus is also to be dovuk to a talmud chacham, and ahava is the love Torah. But the simple pshat in ledovka bay and ubay sidbak and vahavta is exactly what the words mean. That's the simple pshat. Exactly what the words mean. It means they mean relationship. And when you're in that relationship, then you don't have to have your wife complimenting you all the time about how important you are to me. You don't have to be pumped, because there's that silent intimacy that's shared, and there's nothing deeper in the world than that. There's nothing deeper. That's why the tzaddikim say that when you go for his bodhus, you don't always have to talk. It's okay. You just be alone. Just to be alone. And to spend some quality time with the Rebbeinu that you love. It doesn't have to be a whole big deal. Doesn't have to be screaming in the forest. It can be very, very, very quiet and very sweet, and the feeling of, oh, this is a walk that I'm taking together, which is what David Malik said. That's what it means. Dveikus. It's a reality. It's not reaching for something. It's being in something. That's what your sefer is about.
Rebbe, thank you so much for always guiding us to what's really really real, and to be in that state of relationship, and for making this time to have this conversation with me.
It's
Really
my greatest
appreciate it.
pleasure. Just to spend a few minutes with you is a big schus for me. And Mr. Shem, you should have tremendous yad, the shemayim, the siyas chen, and everything that you're doing.
Amen.
Shkai.